today's episode is such a special treat for me because I'm welcoming Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus together. I've had them separately on the podcast, but today is the first time that I get to have them both together. Today, we're going to be talking about doing what matters most versus getting things done. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and I'm so pumped for you to hear this message, mainly because I think we focus so much on the to-do list and getting things done that we don't really stop to ask ourselves, what am I supposed to be doing? Is this the most important thing or am I doing it just to get it done? I know that I'm pretty much the first in line with my hand raised to say, I just want to get things done. And I put things on my to-do list, but I have to be so intentional about asking myself, am I doing what matters most? Michelle and Summer are a part of the She Works His Way. Michelle is the founder and Summer also works with their best friends and they work together. But She Works His Way counteracts the culture way with a gospel-centered approach to both work and womanhood. The glory of God and the good of others is really the pulse behind everything that they do because they believe in community over content. And so She Works His Way instantly connects with you with so many women of every industry who share priorities of Christ, home, and work in that order. Before we get to the interview, have you pre-ordered my new book yet, Face Off With Your Feelings, Break Up With The Lies Of Your Past, and Embrace The Truth For Your Future? If not, I just want to share some things that I think are so important. And what I recognized about this was, I don't want you to think that your feelings are bad. I want you to look at your feelings as a gauge, not a guide, but a gauge. And when we look at it as a gauge, we can say this is a welcome invitation to begin to heal with the Father. In this book, I walk you through step by step to how to heal the tender places of your soul. I help you to create the space you need to find healing. I help you discover how to get the word of God from your head into your heart. And most importantly, how to really experience God on a deeper level through relationship and not through works. So if you are ready to find freedom from shame about what you feel so that you can heal, this book is for you. Head to the show notes below, go to jessicahoddle.com and pre-order your book today. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Michelle and Summer, I don't know how excited I am because if you've been a fan of the podcast at all, you've definitely heard Michelle. I mean, she was one of the first or second people on the podcast. We talked about being a bad mom. And then I had Summer. No, not that she's a bad mom, but it was a lie that we addressed. But with Summer, we talked about motherhood and organization because she's the queen of like systems and simplifying. But now we get to be on here together. So Michelle, why don't you kick us off with why is this important to you, this message of getting things done versus doing what matters most?
Oh, I feel like I mean, there is a war for your soul. That's just the best way to put it, is there is a war for your soul. And the beauty of it is like the war is already won. It's just a matter of, are you going to walk in the victory that Jesus already accomplished for you? And I think that there is so much striving and there is so much pressure. And what people are trying to do is they're trying to find the freedom and they're trying to find the victory that Jesus already accomplished for them. And so I want to give her the message that is already imprinted in her soul, that God already put in her, that deep down inside of her, she knows because her creator put that in her. And we just want to put a voice to it because there are so many voices that are competing for your attention and for your heart. And we do not want to be one more voice. Mm-hmm. We want to help you elevate his. We say all the time that we want to remind you of what God has already said, because what he has said is what matters most. That's what we really need to know. Mm-hmm. And so this is a message of reminders, because the world is shouting its counterfeit offers at you everywhere else you go.
Yeah. No. Well, Summer, why don't you address like the biggest war that you think the women are facing, like the loudest voice that you guys really want to tackle, like be as specific as you can and thinking about, you know, Michelle kind of teed you up. So why don't you kind of narrow in on that biggest war and that loudest voice?
That is a huge question.
but it's also a really good one because I think the biggest war that we're fighting is order. And mm-hmm. that's really what She Works His Way boils down to. And we see it in all types of symptoms in our life, where overwork or discontentment or a focus on people pleasing, all of these things are symptoms of the order is out of whack. Yeah, and so when it comes true. To She Works His Way, that's been the one consistent message from the beginning, from the first 5 a.m. Google Hangout that we did with two other friends. That has been the consecutive message that we've come back to. So there is a solid piece of wisdom in that, that even if we have nothing else to share, it moves women forward, moves them closer to Jesus. And it just comes straight from scripture. It's mm-hmm. everything that was intended. It's something that's easy to identify when you get there, because it's something our soul longs for, as Michelle mm-hmm. just mentioned.
Yeah,
I would say that's really, truly it, being pulled into a million different places by a million different people. And just knowing that in the tension, if you will just rest at the feet of Jesus and go to him first, then you'll know what the next step is, and you'll know what the next thing is, and you'll know what number three, number four, number five is.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, why don't you continue that conversation about order? Because we hear that order, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of different orders that we think, right? Of husband, kids, kids above husband, all the things. Why don't you talk about the order and why the order is actually important, mm-hmm. of especially in business, ministry, and just life in general?
I'm going to say it as simply as I can, because we are so good. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I am very good at complicating things. And so I also want to know everything that there is to know. And so let's just go to scripture. That's what we try to do in the book. That's what we try to do as a ministry all the time, is what does God's word say? And so Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And so in that, the only order that is mentioned is first, putting God first. It doesn't say, it's not a list of rules of this must be first and this must be second and this must be third. If we wanted to dissect it and break it down, we can see what God being first will put through your heart. But as far as you trying to sit through and say, well, what does it look like if this is first and this is second and this is third? You don't have to do that. What God tells us is, put me first and I will order everything else. When I am first, everything else will go into its place. And so it actually diverts our energy and our attention when we try to think through putting this first and putting this second and putting this third. What we need to focus on is simply putting God first and trusting him to do every other thing. And so if you have been complicating this in your own mind, even with good intentions, you don't have to figure out everything else. All you have to do is surrender and submit to put God first and trust that when he is in his rightful place in your life, that everything else will be put in its rightful place by him.
Mm, that's good. And I think kind of picking back off of that with that order, and then thinking about, you know, title of your book, subtitle about doing what matters most. Summer, I want you to talk about idolizing busyness. I want you to talk about how we normalize the busyness badge and mm-hmm. how it's sometimes like just we're better, like we're busy, right? What are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Yeah. And so why don't we talk about, because I feel like that goes right into order. And then they probably will say, well, I'm too busy for that. Mm-hmm. And well, how do you not normalize it and challenge it and begin to actually do what matters most?
Yeah, it's something, and Michelle says this often, and so I'm going to just quote her in this. I don't think it's as much that we normalize busyness as we nobleize it. We say, oh my goodness, I'm going to do all of these things for the glory of God. And as long as we tag "for the glory of God" on the end of it, we believe it's okay to do all these things. Yeah. And then it comes to people in your life that you love dearly, our kids, our spouses, the women we're discipling, our coworkers. And we feel like we can't say no to anyone because for the glory of God, right? But what we have to understand is we are not going to save anyone. We are not going to fix anyone. We are not anyone's Holy Spirit. So we walk in obedience and we show up where God calls us to show up.
But if we try to add to his list, if we try to fill our schedule and fill our calendar with even good things, then we end up neglecting the best things, the things where he has asked us to show up. People are hard. People are messy. And in order for us to love them like Jesus loves them, that takes time and energy. It's not going to be like a buffet that you're going to walk through really quick. You have to stop. You have to slow down. You have to be available. And the busyness that we see happening, we might be able to connect with more people. We might be able to open up more opportunities and see more doors open and fill in the blank with whatever it is. But the problem is, are any deep connections being made? Are any lives being changed? Are people being drawn to Jesus because you have the margin to do what you need to do, for him to interrupt, for him to move? And we've just noblized busyness because we want everything. We want it all. And we honestly, if you go even a level deeper, I don't even think we really want it all. I think we assume that we're supposed to want it all.
Mm-hmm. Or it will get better once we get there, once we get everything.
Absolutely. After we get it all, as long as it fits on the calendar, then we're fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's fine, right? You've seen, like, that t-shirt has been a number one seller in 2021. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
And it's I just think of the Friends GIF. I'm fine.
Exactly. Oh, I'm fine. Exactly. And that's, nobody's fine. We're not fine. So the busyness has become overwhelming. And instead of fixing it by going to Jesus and just being obedient in what matters most and doing what matters most, we keep adding to the busyness, the better things, the good things. And we assume that's what's going to fix it. Some women are afraid, even in a quiet time, they busy their quiet time. They're like, we are going to do this, that, and the other. I'm going to make sure I have this amount of praise and worship, this amount of prayer time, this amount of scripture reading, and then I'm going to do a song and dance for the Lord, right? I mean, we choreograph our quiet time, and Jesus is like, will you just be quiet and sit down? Like, just be quiet and sit down. And so it's all over the place. It's all over the map. But advice to anyone who feels like the busyness has gotten out of hand, because that's going to be the next question you get is, okay, fine. So I noblize busyness and I need to stop. So how do I do that? How do I know what to quit? How do I know what to stay in? Quiet the busyness in your time with Jesus first and foremost. Mm. And then he will tell you what to go, what to stop, what to say yes to, what to say no to. If you can just start with that little moment of time every day, you'll see a change. You'll see a shift.
Yeah. With the book, you guys really, you split up the chapters, and you guys are so different, but so the same, you know, both of you like make my heart really happy in different areas, but both together, of course, because I like so love the organization system side of summer. And I just wish I had Michelle's brain a lot with like all the words
all of
and
it.
Like, you know, and so you guys make this like beautiful coming in together. And I each want you to talk a little bit about some of your chapters, but let's start with summer and thinking about, okay, you're telling me I need to seek God first, right? Which is obviously Jesus saying, seek the first kingdom, but you're giving this advice about seeking God first. And I know that women are like, I know this, right? I know John 6:33. I know that I need to seek the kingdom. But when I think about doing what matters most, not idolizing busyness, how do I actually practically put God first and doing what matters? Like, how do I know that I'm doing what matters most? Mm-hmm. And one of the chapters you write about is relationships over achievements. Why don't you just kind of give us some examples, even in that, of how do I know that I'm doing what matters most? I know I'm seeking God, but you know,
right.
How do
right.
they go together?
Absolutely. So most of the book is a lie of culture and then the truth of the gospel. And they're differentiated between throughout the entire book. And you'll notice most of them aren't bad things. They aren't, achievement is not bad. We are not success shamers at all. However, when it becomes more important than your relationships and the people in your life, you can see how that's a slippery slope to take you to a very bad place. The thing is, all of us would say, there's none of us that would say, I want the promotion more than I care about a person. That would be really hard for any of us to say. So we have to look at our actions. Mm-hmm. We have to look at the things that we invest the most time and energy into. We have to look at the places we love most. Our affections, they matter. What we desire, what we are affectionate about, it matters. And so to find out what it is that you're putting first, you have to look at what it is you love most. And that takes evaluation. It takes asking God. It's a serious deep dive of questions that you can ask yourself. But if you just surround yourself with people who love Jesus most and who work really hard to put him first, you are going to be reminded of it over and over and over. And it's going to take care of that piece of the puzzle. When you put God first, you will settle in a place that feels peaceful, not easy, but peaceful. And you will begin to get uncomfortable in a place where it's not. So the promotion will not be more important than people, because it will be uncomfortable if you start to shift in that direction. When we become more like Jesus, we become more like Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So it just literally means I want to act like Jesus. I want to handle my life in the way he would. And if you are in God's word and you are reading about Jesus, every leader should read about Jesus. Every mm-hmm. leader should read, like, should have focused time, even on top of a quiet time and studying scripture. They should read about the character of Jesus, who mm-hmm. God is, who Jesus was, how he lived his life, how he led, how he loved. And then we mimic that. When we're more like him, then we don't have to sit down and evaluate ourselves at the end of the day. We can just rest in the fact that we are going to live our life like Jesus. You just have to know, coming up against the world, though, it will be the opposite of culture. Mm-hmm. It won't make sense. It'll be strange. It'll look weird, but it's just how it is. The end goals aren't the same, though. So sometimes we confuse it and we think, okay, I'm going to love people like Jesus. I'm going to act like Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus would have done. And then he's going to give me the promotion, right? Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't. And then we're like, wait a second, but I did everything the right way and I didn't get the promotion. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how it works. And I believe that we've got two sides of the story and we're not landing in the right place. It's mm-hmm. the do everything Jesus does and you'll get what you're supposed to get, or the chase success and then you'll get what you want to get, when there's a middle place, which is follow Jesus, do what Jesus would do, be more like Jesus, and you'll get what he gives you. Mm-hmm.
When you were talking, I was thinking about just sowing and reaping, and when God, you know, scripture talks about sowing and reaping, and my pastor was talking about, like, you don't put an acorn in the ground and get a ginormous acorn. You get a tree. And so when we think about sowing and reaping and just being kind and loving, it's not this equation of like, if I'm loving to somebody else, they're going to love me, mm-hmm. right? You might reap that fruit in your relationship with your kids, or you might get the money or the increase or whatever, but how you sow doesn't mean how you also reap. That's and right. Kind of like what you were saying, if I'm just nice and do all the things, then I'll get this, you know? Mm-hmm. And another thing, Michelle, I think she's had to tell me this a million times. She'd be like, A plus B does not equal C, not in the kingdom. And I had to hear it so many times, because coming out of this business world, I was like, I thought if I did this and this, then I was going to get this result. And she's like, she just told me, I think even last narrow, she's like, listen, Jess, you're doing all the right things, but stop thinking that ministry is this way. And I was like, I know, you know, like that kind of attitude. So Michelle, why don't you talk about your chapter of the book that you're thinking about when it comes to, I know that you're telling me to seek, but how do I know that I'm doing the right thing?
So one way to think about it is just remembering that results are God's job. And one thing that I know for sure is that I am really bad at doing God's job. And how do I know that I'm really bad? Because I've tried. I have attempted. And so it's not... If you think about all of the chapters, again, what Summer said is true. We do not success shame, but we also don't want to let you believe that you are in charge of results, because you're not. And so one of the chapters that I'm thinking about right now that probably has had the biggest impact on me, and Summer knows exactly what I'm going to say, is the serve over lead chapter. because I think I came out wanting to be a leader. I think that, I mean, from line leader in kindergarten, like this has just always been an aspiration. And so when I was in my quiet time and I got to Matthew 23 and I hit the verse where it says, do not be called leaders. I'm not sure that I've ever read anything before that has like knocked me out of my chair and like sent me to the floor. But it was, and hey, I'm going to just settle the tension right now so that nobody has to wrestle. Leadership is not a bad thing. But again, leadership is not a title. It's not. And when we make it one and we make the title the point, that's usually when we default to the world's definition of what leadership is, because the world tells you that leadership is the ascent to power. And Jesus says that leadership is the descent to the needs of others. And so it's genuinely just about what am I pursuing and what is my end goal here? And I promise you, you will be the best leader if you will make it your goal to be the best servant. But if you make it your goal to be the best leader, you will probably have some people as collateral damage, which is not the definition of what a leader should do. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about realizing, like, again, God really did give us everything that we need to know in scripture. There are things that we may struggle to understand because his ways are so much higher than ours, but what we really need to know and what we really need to do, he did not make a secret. And so it's just a matter of truly saying, okay, your way, not my way. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's not what everybody else has told me. But what I have seen since I have we'll put it this way, I don't do this perfectly. When I am open-handed and let God do his job, he always does a better job than I do trying to do his job. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when we think about even God's economy, and it doesn't work like the world's economy, obviously. And so when we can focus on God's economy, which is his word, you know, how he operates, the nature and character of who he is, I think the world then tries to tell us like, how far and how fast can you go? And I think scripture is like, hey, can you stay slow and steady with me? So Michelle, why don't you start us, and Summer will close us out, of really addressing this far and fast versus slow and steady. Because I think we hear that and we go, it probably people cringe because they think, how fast can I get those things that matter done? Right? We even try to rush through those. Even what matters, we're like, how fast can I go through it? So why don't you start with the far and fast versus slow and steady?
People are the point, right? Mm-hmm. And relationships do not happen instantly. They are a process. They are slow. They take time. You have to invest. And so when you recognize that my purpose, why God put me here, is to bring him glory. And Jesus's last words were, as I'm going, I'm supposed to make disciples. That means that my purpose is wrapped up in the people that God puts in my path. And so the clearest, I got people in my household. I've got people that I encounter at work. I've got people I encounter at church. I have neighbors. I have people. And people are not going to be instantaneous. It's going to take effort, patience, love. And you can't put a formula to a person, because people cannot be systematized like a process. And so it's going to be constant. It's going to have to be every day. It's going to have to be consistent. And if you attempt to do it fast and full speed ahead, that's going to be a task list. That's not going to be pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the only way that you can truly make disciples like Jesus has asked us to is if you will slow down and see the people that God has put around you.
Mm-hmm. I always love when you talk about systemizing people of like, it's just not even possible. And because we're taught so much in ministry and what we do and how to organize our day and all those fun things. But then we're like, okay, I'm looking at this person. How can I, you know, basically systematize them and make them kind and nice and go through my funnel, you know? So Summer, why don't you close us out? What advice would you give with that?
You have to go deep when everybody else is telling you to go wide. And to dig takes longer than to run. The activity in and of itself is a slower activity than if I took off and ran wide side to side. So I've got to have the opportunity. I've got to take the time to be able to go deep. And that's not just with individuals. That's with my ministry as a whole, with whatever it is that God's called me to, going deep into that, to study, to be prepared, to be equipped, to pray. We can be good at a lot of things. That's something that this world has taught us. There are certifications, YouTube classes, all sorts of ways that we can better ourselves and learn different skills. But to go deep into the ministry that God's called us to is going to require us to go to Him and to study what He is asking us to do, to study His word, and then to go deep with people. And just none of that is fast. And when you look at what the believer's end goal is, well done, good and faithful servant, and eternity, heaven, worship, those things, none of that looks rushed. None of it sounds rushed. And we have to understand that God is in charge and He is in control of our day to day. And our speed will not affect the impact that we make on this earth, because He's ultimately the one who's going to change hearts and draw people to Him. So to slow down and to be focused, all of the words that we use to describe being able to truly keep our eyes on Jesus, it takes time. Mm-hmm. It just takes time, and we can't rush past it.
Yeah. I was sharing recently how I was like a sprinter for like, you know, 8 years. And I was like, what does a sprinter do typically at the end of a finish line? They crash.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we just watched the Olympics this year. And what did most sprinters do? They would like sit down, they would squat to breathe, they'd lay on their back. And you can only sprint for so long before you just become exhausted and you want to give up. And you're like, why am I even doing this? And I think you two are the perfect example of how slow and steady and relationship building, because I know you personally in real life and the ministries that you carry and what you do in like your real life church and the body of Christ. And so I know that you guys are more, I'm not sprinting because I don't want to be exhausted. I'm going to be slow and steady because I want to have energy and I want to be able to do the things that God has called me to do. So
that is what She Works His Way. That is why we exist. That is why we are here. Nobody is affirming us for slowing down.
That's right.
We look at other women in our lives and we say, how do you do it all? You're so busy. Oh my goodness, I could never. And those are the compliments we hear most often and the things we receive most often. Nobody walks up and says, Jess, it looks like you've really slowed down in life. Congratulations. You are winning. Awesome.
You're my hero.
Right. And it's just sad. It's really, really sad. But that's what we have to start doing for each other. We have to start saying, I see your focus. I see your prayer life. I see the way God's moving in you quietly. I see what He's doing in and through you in your local church. Instead of, I mean, go, 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 go. So
the accolades. I see you guys wrote a book. I see your ministry growing. I see all those tangible things, which aren't bad. But, you know, when I met with Michelle for like a mastermind day, she was even talking about how she was trying to structure her day so that she could get up earlier, work for 6 hours, and then be done at like noon so that she could spend the whole day with her kids. But people wouldn't know that, you know what I mean? They wouldn't know that she wakes up, does the straight act, like doesn't pee, which is amazing to me. She's like, I don't drink water. I don't eat. I don't, you know, pee. I'm like, how do you not do this? But for me, it was so important in just knowing that of just like you said, not idolizing what you see, but knowing the person of like their character and their integrity. And, you know, I know you both well, and that's something that we should really be looking up as, you know, more than the success that God has sent through you. So I could just keep going, but I really want people to know, where can they get the book. Whoever wants to share, Michelle, do you want to tell us where to get the book? Sure. Summer's going to be like, I don't know, somewhere on the website.
The easiest place to go is to sheworkshisway.com/book. And that will let you, it has a list of all of the retailers that are there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Summer, why don't you actually just invite us to Narrow? Because obviously I've been there since year one and, you know, I've kind of become a little attachment to it now. So I'm like a little, you know.
Yes, we won't do Narrow without you. We
just it just doesn't even feel right.
It is the most beautiful 2 days. We come together, we listen to different speakers, we workshop things, we open our Bibles in every single session. The worship is just incredible. It's so unifying. There are women from every industry. There are speakers from different backgrounds, and they just come and bless our hearts. So we leave really filled up, reminded of the order. It's November 5th and 6th. It's in Asheville, North Carolina. And we would absolutely love to have you.
Yeah. And I don't just say that because I'm like, they're my friends, but I say that because I paid to go. I go every year. I go with my husband, and it's just like, you'll see Michelle and Summer like running about in the crowds and in the audience, and not running, but you know, having fun. And just, it's a different feeling because of the atmosphere that they want to create. And that's important. So make sure you check out Narrow while you're getting the book. Support. I love supporting authors. So make sure you guys just go, if anything, go check them out and see, like, just follow them on Instagram, She Works His Way, and just see what they're about. If you're kind of like, who are these Jesus loving girls? So go get more of them. But Michelle and Summer, thanks so much for hanging out with me. And I'm just so thankful for you guys.
We love you.